All right, Monday Locked On Syracuse podcast, and we've got a couple things to talk about on the Locked On Syracuse.
We've got a week's worth here on a Monday.
I mean, everyone. Huge game against Clemson, goes down to the wire. So many thoughts from that. That was way back on Friday. It feels like 3 weeks ago. Then Tommy DeVito, right before we start this podcast, declares he's in the transfer portal. There's this 44 drama. Malik Brown commits. There's a lot to get to.
Coach O's on the way out, too.
Yes.
Everything's flying right now.
I can't keep track of all of it, but we're going to get to it right now on the Locked On Syracuse podcast.
You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, we thank you for making Locked On Syracuse your first listen every single weekday. We are here with you guys. We are free and available wherever you get your podcast and on YouTube as well now. Just search Locked On Syracuse on YouTube. Subscribe to the show on YouTube if you haven't already. And man, where do we start, Ty? I mean, Tommy DeVito, that just came through like 3 minutes before we started this podcast. I'm glad.
At least he had the... at least we didn't hit stop recording, and then it comes out.
Usually
then
that's really what happens to us.
Exactly. Right. That's happened a time or two or three, probably more like 10 to us. But, I mean, I think we have to start with DeVito because everything that happened in the, I think the Clemson game was the straw that broke the camel's back here, right? When you look at how that transpired, how poorly Syracuse played at quarterback, and really just the lack of faith in the offense and the quarterback position by the coaching staff. I think that was all DeVito needed to see. If I wasn't getting into this game, I'm not playing in any game this year, barring some sort of injury.
Yeah, which it's pretty amazing. I mean, I guess it's not that surprising that he makes this decision mid-season because, you know, he's doing what's best for him, and that makes sense right now for him to go somewhere else. I'm very curious to see where he lands, which I guess is a whole nother topic that we can discuss later on this week on the podcast. But now Jacobian Morgan is probably your backup, which is a pretty vital role when you consider how much Garrett Schrader is taking hits and how much Garrett Schrader is just under pressure back there. But yeah, I mean, it's sort of a bummer that this is how the Tommy DeVito era ends. And I will say I had no problem with Dino sort of riding with Schrader the other night, which I think you were sort of advocating for DeVito to come in the game at one point, right?
Yeah. Well, let's be honest. When you've got Garrett Schrader as your quarterback, there's a clear limitation with what you want to do vertically in the passing game when you've got Garrett Schrader.
Right.
And he goes out, and the reason why you want Garrett Schrader at quarterback is his ability to use his legs. Those avenues were not open in this game. He only ran the ball seven times in the contest. And on top of that, I don't think it would have been the smart thing to have him run the football. I mean, did you see how quickly some of those gaps were closing? How fast that Clemson defense was? It was not a recipe for success. And I do have to a degree, tip my hat to Sterling Gilbert here for not going with more of the design quarterback runs. He didn't have a chance to have quarterback runs in this game. So I think it makes a lot of sense that you could have used DeVito in this game. If you were going to, you needed to throw the ball. If you told me, all right, Syracuse is going to throw the ball 37 times in this game, who do you want at quarterback? The answer to me is DeVito. And I don't think it's much of a contest.
Yeah, I still have just seen, I think, too much of DeVito to really believe that he would have made a difference in that game, and that's just me. I mean, I totally agree that DeVito's a better passer in a vacuum than Schrader, and he probably was needed for that game a little bit more because, Clemson did what every defense should do the rest of the season, which was stack the box, make sure that Sean Tucker isn't the guy that's single-handedly beating you, and say, hey, Garrett Schrader, can you throw a 10-yard slant? Can you throw a 15-yard out? Like these simple passes. And he couldn't execute them. But at the same time, he's getting pressured a lot. And Garrett Schrader, from what we've seen so far, is just better at making plays when he's pressured than Tommy DeVito. And the way he stood in the pocket and made that deep pass to Trevor Pena later in the game, I just have seen enough of the DeVito experiment and everything. And now I guess we've definitely seen enough because he's moving on from Syracuse, which is kind of crazy.
We've seen it all. Yeah, we've seen the end.
Right. No, this is over.
But the reason I think Tommy DeVito could have been used in this game is he's got that free playing spirit where he's just going to rip it, especially when he comes in a reserve role. What have we seen? He's just going to let loose and chuck. And I think that's the only thing offensively. You needed a prayer offensively in that game. And I like my chances at a Tommy DeVito prayer a lot more than I do with a Garrett Schrader prayer when you're talking about moving the ball vertically down the field.
Yeah, I don't know. We were texting about it during the game, like, should they go to DeVito? Should they not? And I just feel like Schrader's the best bet for the rest of the season. Now, obviously, it's easy to say that because DeVito has moved on. But I just think what Schrader provides back there, it's the opposite of what DeVito provides, but it's better for a broken down offensive line against a team that is going to get to your offensive line a little bit more. And I don't know if they really would have made a difference. The thing is, that game kind of went according to script. And I think I saw a lot of talk on Twitter about how bad the offense was. And it's just a product of Clemson's defense is really good, right? Like we talked about that during the week. 14 points, I think, is the most in regulation that any team has scored on Clemson this year. So two touchdowns, you get a passing touchdown. They had only allowed one passing touchdown all season going into that game. I think a lot of fans were maybe not overreacting is the right word, but they were sort of taking the terrible offense and saying, man, this is brutal. Like, we need to go to DeVito. But it was just a product of actually facing a real defense. The rest of the ACC defenses, I think Schrader can be fine against. Clemson's defense, well, their offense was terrible in that game, and I think they have real problems on that side. Their defense is still a true Clemson defense.
Championship level.
Right. Yep.
Championship level defense. And you saw it play out in that game right there. It was a championship level defense out there for Clemson, but it wasn't like the game couldn't have been had by Syracuse. And I just see if you had a just free chucking spirit out there. Like you heard Mike Golic Jr. talk about it, the YOLO ball with Garrett Schrader. If you've got the YOLO ball of Schrader and the YOLO ball of DeVito, I like my chances of connecting on a few more deep shots with DeVito than I do with Schrader in that game. I mean, we saw the one, and it worked, the one to Pena, which ironically was right before or right after I had tweeted, I wouldn't mind seeing DeVito here. And listen, I wasn't alone in the DeVito camp. I saw there were a couple former players on the team that said, maybe we should look at DeVito here. I think matchup-wise, if you knew you were going to throw the ball 37 times, you had to go with DeVito. Because in this game, I mean, Garrett Schrader went 17 for 37 passing the football. 46% is not going to cut it against this Clemson defense.
Yeah, it's just tough because I feel like DeVito would have gotten sacked more. And I feel like we've just seen what DeVito is against high-intense defenses that provide a lot of pressure. And it doesn't make me optimistic. And I don't think Schrader was good in this game. Don't get me wrong. And his PFF numbers weren't good. I think he checked in at like a 58 grade, which is the worst he's had at the quarterback position so far since he's become the full-time starter. But he still just provides a little bit of like ability to extend plays once the pressure comes in.
But what does it matter if you're not completing passes? That to me is it, like, okay, yeah, you can evade a couple sacks here or there, but if you're just spiking it into the ground 20 times, I don't see the benefit. I'd rather take a sack here or there, but know that my quarterback can at least have some accuracy down the field. We have not seen any throws downfield where Schrader has been wildly accurate. So,
well, the Pena throw, but that was it. Yeah.
The Pena throw, but it wasn't a great throw. It wasn't like he hit him in stride.
Pena kind of
had to slow up a little
bit to grab it,
but
I think
he chucked it up. Anyone can sort of make, like, you don't think Tommy DeVito could have made that throw?
No, I think what would have happened is if DeVito came in and he made that throw, we'd all be like, oh my God, he hit him in stride there. So we got to give him credit for that. And he stood in the pocket and took a shot on that play as well.
He took a shot. Yeah, sure. Okay. But I just think when you're throwing the ball that much, you've got a quarterback who can't throw the football. And he gets luck. It's like Rex Culpepper, what we saw with Culpepper last year. Did he hit a couple deep shots? Yeah. Okay. But he just was not a good quarterback out there for you. He'd get lucky every once in a while, but the blind squirrel finds its nut every once in a while. And that's what we saw with Schrader on that one throw. I just think it would have been better off with DeVito. I think he would have given this team a much better chance to win, knowing that you were going to throw the football 37 times.
All right, let's put a pin in that for just a second. Got plenty more thoughts on this. Got plenty more thoughts on everything that happened this weekend. It was a busy Syracuse sports weekend for sure, but I want to remind you guys about Prize Picks. If you're a college football fanatic right now, you got to jump into Prize Picks. It is daily fantasy made easy. I love this, and I know you guys will too. Prize Picks is the leader in college sports daily fantasy. They offer more college football props than anyone in the world. and offer all sorts of players, Power 5, non-Power 5, mid-major, whatever. You can do cross-sport stuff. So when Syracuse basketball is involved in a couple weeks here, you can do maybe Joe Girard threes combined with Garrett Schrader over-under and stuff like that. It's a lot of fun. All new users, once you use our promo code, you receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. And that promo code is Locked On, all one word. Again, that promo code Locked On, all one word, for 100% instant deposit match up to $100. You pick 2 to 5 players on an over-under. It's just you against the projection, you against the projected numbers. Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries like I talked about, and it's an award-winning app that you can download on the App Store or Google Play. So don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com and use that promo code Locked On to get to your savings there on the App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. So you're right. I mean, Schrader wasn't good in this game. There's no denying that. I just don't think DeVito would have been good also against Clemson. And
I just would have liked to see it, though. Like, you'll never know now. And you live in that world of what if with
right.
Tommy DeVito in that game.
But haven't we seen it
very
for
intriguing.
4 years?
It's a very...
I mean, that's my argument. We've seen
but
it for
haven't
a while.
We seen him flash at times, too? Like, are we just going to completely take away the fact that he has had some of these games where he's looked fantastic, like the UNC game? I would have liked to see a Tommy DeVito who maybe went into that game knowing, this is the last game I'm going to be here, okay? Maybe he did go into that game thinking that, especially if he wasn't going to play. Maybe he goes into that game and just lets it rip and is a completely different DeVito playing like he's got nothing to lose out there. I would have liked to see. I'm intrigued by the possibility.
I'm just at the point where I've seen him too long to really believe
anything. But you've seen Garrett Schrader, too, and he can't throw the ball. And you're going to go with a DeVito.
Yeah, but
they went with
a
DeVito
the
style
and he can
offense.
Extend plays. And
but he didn't run the ball in this game. And that's the frustrating part, is it wouldn't have worked. So if you know that you have a quarterback that can't throw the ball downfield and a quarterback who can run, but this defense isn't going to let you run and you're not going to dial up any sort of run plays, then what's the point? I just don't get the point in leaving him out there.
Well, here's my thing, is that DeVito would have just been rattled by the pressure, where Schrader actually got a couple passes off. And it's also worth noting, the wide receivers dropped, what, 5 or 6 passes in this game? I mean,
I haven't seen the final numbers, but it wasn't great.
It wasn't
great. I know there were a couple that some fans were like, oh, that should have been caught, and then you'd see the replay and it probably shouldn't have. It was a bad throw. He was thrown behind some guys.
Yeah, but a good wide receiver catches it. And a lot of those examples, they hit their hands.
I think there were some... Yeah, right? But it's one thing to hit your hands, but it's another thing to hit your hands when you're running to your left. The ball is way to your so I'm trying to think of this mentally right now.
Right.
So if you're cutting left, okay, and then you're turning and it's facing the opposite way that you're running, even though it hits you in the hands, that's a tough catch. You can't make that catch all the time, especially if you're being hit by a future NFL player in the process. Listen, we've talked about it ad nauseum. The receivers on this team are not very good. Okay. And I'd much rather have the possibility of a quarterback who's shown a lot more accuracy over the course of his career.
Yeah, but I mean, accuracy is one thing. That's one of like 10 things that the quarterback position is. We're never going to agree on this. I just think Garrett Schrader, we've seen enough from Tommy DeVito to realize that against an elite defense that's going to pressure him, I just don't trust him in that situation. I don't trust him to make plays on third down. I don't trust him to stand in the pocket. I don't trust him to come through, basically. And I've seen...
And you trust Schrader? What is Schrader? He's won one game.
Yeah, but against good... And that's the part where I disagree with. I know you brought up the records, but that's DeVito against what? Ohio and Albany? Oh,
I get it. It's different teams, right? But
yeah.
He wasn't given a chance to play against some of those other teams.
Schrader
was given the chance to play against some
ago,
of those.
And he struggled.
Schrader was given the chance to play against some of those teams and has failed those chances. I mean, he's 1-3 now as the quarterback at Syracuse in 3-point losses. And when it comes down to those 3-point losses and you're not throwing the football, that's on you as a quarterback too. You have to be able to make some of these plays, and we just haven't seen him make them. Dino has zero confidence in Garrett Schrader right now to build a 2-minute drive. And we saw that. Why do you think he went for it? Why do you think he kicked the field goal on 4th-and-1? Because he didn't trust his quarterback.
Right, but he clearly trusts him more than Tommy DeVito at this stage.
He does. That he's playing. I mean, yeah. Listen, he has zero trust in the quarterback position right now. Zero trust. And I don't blame him.
Right. So I think that's a larger point here that I realized when I was watching this game. Everyone wants to pinpoint, all right, who's at most fault here? Is it Sterling Gilbert? Is it Dino for the decisions that he constantly keeps on missing on? Is it Garrett Schrader? Is it the wide receivers? Like, there's all these things to point at. The fact of the matter is, all these things that I just named are below average. Sterling Gilbert's not doing a great job.
I wouldn't even say below average. I'd say they're flat out bad.
Right. Flat out bad. I agree. You're just using like more blunt
words.
You're
sugarcoating it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and I totally agree. It's Dino has made bad decisions constantly. He's continuously whiffed. And we'll get into this fourth down decision in a little bit here. Sterling Gilbert is not calling the plays to an adequate level right now. He's not getting Sean Tucker the ball enough. I understand they stacked the box in the second half and it's tough. And I don't think Sterling
Gilbert... rattling off some runs. And that's the thing is he'd have a stretch of, okay, one yard, 2 yard, 1 yard, no gain. But then he'd break off 9.
Right.
And it's just like those little pop plays are what you need to wear down defenses. And I feel like Syracuse would have been in the driver's seat with that.
So you wanted Sean Tucker to get the ball a lot more in the second half, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah. I mean, there was a point in the game where I think up until the final two drives, he had 15 carries.
Right.
And he was going, he had, what, 130-something yards at the time, too.
Yeah.
15 carries. Like, he was really carving through that defense. And I know he had the big, what, 50-something yard run.
He had a 39-yard run.
But he was
run.
Still.
Yep.
He was still, like, it felt like he was getting five or six on a good number of runs throughout that game.
I felt like it was those two pop runs. And the thing with me that is really interesting is if we're going to do the, okay, Sterling Gilbert didn't give the ball to Sean Tucker enough. There were a couple runs in this game where Sean Tucker didn't get touched for like 15 yards because Sterling Gilbert drawed up a good play. And he did a lot of those outside zone runs in the first half that really got me excited about the direction of this offense. And I still think they're going to be somewhat successful against bad defenses. The fact of the matter is Clemson's not a bad defense. They're really good. They held Georgia to no offensive touchdowns. So we have to look at this sort of in a different lens than the other games, I think.
Right. Listen, we've talked about it. I know there was someone that disagreed with us saying that this was an elite defense. That was an elite defense out there for Clemson. And is Syracuse going to get theirs?
Yeah.
Is Syracuse going to get theirs against some of these other teams throughout the ACC schedule? Absolutely. I 100% think this team is going to put up points. But what's been the common theme now? You've had three-point loss in your last three games, okay? And it's because you haven't had the ability to move the ball down the field. There's zero faith in this offense to put together a two-minute drive. Zero.
It's hard to say that, though, because they scored, 65 combined points in the last two games before this?
But guess what? What have they also done in all of those? I mean, you failed to win the game in the last three, in three-point games. And when that becomes the trend, and it's because you're not throwing the football. Like, this is 2021 now, okay? You have to be able to throw the football. I know a bad quarterback when I see one, okay? Garrett Schrader is not a good quarterback. I've rooted for the Chicago Bears
DeVito
for all 24 years of my life.
That's my thing.
I know he's not, but he's a better thrower of the football, and that's what you needed in this game. I've watched the Chicago Bears for 24 years of my life, okay? I have a PhD in what a bad quarterback looks like, and Syracuse has a bunch of them on their roster.
Okay, so I guess what you're arguing is for this specific Clemson game, DeVito would have been better.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I can kind of get behind that a little bit more. Like, Schrader wasn't getting it done. Maybe you go to the pen. Maybe you bring out someone that can chuck it downfield. But once Schrader threw that pass to Pena, I was cool with riding with him. And also,
I think you couldn't bench him after it.
Like, right.
You couldn't bench him after that. And I would have been curious to see. Let's say he misses on that throw. Okay. Would Dino have gone to the bullpen then?
Would Tommy DeVito be in the transfer portal right now? We don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, legitimately.
Like, if DeVito comes back and wins that game for Syracuse, all right, let's say there's some hypothetical world we live in, and he does, like, Schrader misses the Pena throw, DeVito comes in. Does Tommy DeVito start against Virginia Tech?
I mean, if he came back and led them to a victory, probably yes. But I don't think Dino was ever really that close to going to DeVito.
I'm with you. I don't know if he was close either.
Right. Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's get into the fourth down decision in just a little bit. But first, I want to remind you guys about Built Bar. It is the best tasting protein bar out there right now. It's our favorite. And Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors to choose from. They got coconut almond, cherry, raspberry. They even got mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, which is our favorite. Also double chocolate and salted caramel. They also have some limited time flavors. Right now, that limited time flavor is a cookie dough chunk, which is just sounds delicious. Built Bars, the best thing about Built Bars, they're delicious, but they are also good for you as well. You just take a sample of one of their flavors, 17 grams protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams sugar, and only 4 grams net carbs. They are somehow a delicious treat that is also good for you as well. Go to BuiltBar.com, use our promo code LOCKED15. Again, that's LOCKED15 to get you 15% off your first order. That promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. You can choose from their 9 delicious flavors right now that are out there. This decision, we were going to lead the show with this, but then Tommy DeVito decided to transfer, which, holy cow, I can't even keep track of all the Syracuse news that has come through the past.
We could have spent an entire show on this fourth down decision.
Right.
That's how big of a play it was.
So let's start here. The decision in a vacuum, was it the wrong decision, right decision in your opinion? Just like if you take away, because for me, I guess I'll start with what I think about it. For me, once it's Dino Babers after whiffing on several decisions, it's different after seeing this decision not pan out and wondering, okay, how is he continuously whiffing on another decision here?
Yeah.
But if you're a good coach and you make that decision and you miss, I don't think it's getting highly scrutinized. It's just a bummer that the field goal missed. Well,
yeah, I mean, let's call this what it was, okay? This is you're sending Andre Schmidt out there to kick a 48-yarder.
Right.
That's not an easy kick for a college kid, a professional kicker.
Dome,
I mean,
but yeah,
it is in the dome, so you do have the perfect conditions and all that. And obviously all the stuff goes viral of how the laces were in and stuff like that. But if you're blaming Andre Schmidt, if you're finger pointing at Schmidt for this, you're misdirecting your blame.
Right.
Here,
okay? You can't make a kick with the laces in like that. You can't.
Well, that and just even if the laces were out, okay, asking a kid to make a 48-yarder against Clemson is not an easy task, like especially for someone who's been struggling this season too. You don't think there's some mental gymnastics in his mind right now? I mean, that was a lot of pressure for that kick there from a distance that he really hasn't been that comfortable with, especially as of late. But
right,
getting into the decision as a whole here on should Syracuse have gone for it or not, it just gets back to what we said last week when we were talking about decision making with this team. How is this the same coach that wanted to go for 2 against Wake Forest and try to win, and now he gets here and a chance to score a touchdown instead of play for a field goal and play for overtime against a team who's obviously superior to you?
Right.
I just don't get how that's the same person. I don't get it.
Well, they had momentum.
Some days he chooses aggression. I mean,
momentum.
You want to talk about that too? holy hell, what was he saying after the game?
That when is the I part that just makes no sense, yeah.
I mean, we had momentum, so we decided to kick the field goal. I get what he was saying in that he wanted to use that momentum to carry it into overtime. That there's no guarantee that bottles itself up and carries into overtime. Guess what? You had momentum at the end of that Wake Forest game. How'd that momentum work for you in overtime? It didn't.
Right.
And I'm done. I'm done with the decision making. I'm done with the offensive play calling. It's eaten my brain. It has eaten my brain to the point where I just don't understand how this is the same person that makes all these different decisions. Because it's like he wakes up one day on one side of the bed and he's saying, you know what? I woke up feeling dangerous today. I'm Baker Mayfield.
Right.
I'm going to go for it. I'm going to be run and gun. I'm going to go out there and make reckless decision making. And then there's other days where he wakes up and is the most conservative football coach in the entire country. I don't get how this is the same guy, game in and game out, making these decisions.
And the funny thing is the timeout aspect of it, where he calls a timeout, because obviously, like, that just reeks of indecision, right? Because you can tell, that's the thing with Dino. He just doesn't process these decisions quick enough.
Well, here's the frustrating part, too, is that it was very feasible that you could pick that, because, okay, let's rewind one play here. Third and two.
Yep.
Okay. You know it's a very real possibility that you're going to have to make a decision. You should have it in your mind. Like, barring a holding penalty that sets you back 10 yards, false start, illegal formation, whatever. Something that sets you back yardage. Sean Tucker's not going to lose more than a yard or two there.
Sure.
Right? Like, in all reality, okay? You knew that was a real possibility that you were going to have fourth and short and have to make a decision of whether or not you wanted to go for it. You gained 1 yard. And I feel like by gaining that 1 yard, you actually made the decision for yourself easier, and he took the wrong side of it. It makes no sense. That's all I ask from a head coach. Make it make sense.
Right.
I mean, just sometimes you got to make the simple decisions here, and this one could not have been simpler. I really do not think this could have been simpler.
Yeah, so it's funny because you brought up how the Bears are in your life. I'm a Patriots fan, and not that long ago, they played the Bucs, huge Monday or Sunday night game. Brady and Belichick makes the decision to kick a 56-yard field goal in the rain, and they miss it, obviously. It goes off the upright, had the distance, whatever. But it's a pretty similar situation when you factor in an NFL kicker to a college kicker. I didn't hear, I mean, sure, in local Boston sports radio, they were criticizing Belichick's decision. I didn't hear a lot of backlash on it, like on ESPN or whatnot. And that's just because Belichick has established himself as an elite coach and elite decision maker. And he doesn't make a lot of those bad decisions. The thing with Dino is he called the timeout beforehand, which shows you that he was really in his own head about the whole thing. And this is what now, like, 8 decisions in a row. I mean, it's honestly mind-boggling that he's been put in this situation as much as he has, and he's failed as much as he has. You think he'd stumble into the right decision once or twice.
Well, so in the Florida State game, I felt like even though the results didn't go his way, and I'm wondering how much that Florida State game is impacting his decision-making now. Because I think results-wise, it was an atrocity against Florida State. But I think the decision-making and the process was actually correct in almost every single one of those fourth down and field goal decisions that he made in the Florida State game. And I think you and I talked about, too, Wake Forest, we both liked the call to go for two. Obviously, the play never got off, but we felt like the decision-making and the process there was good.
The thing I don't get, I feel like, just real quick, on the Wake Forest play, and this has been talked about, I think, but he says, when I saw Sean Tucker go into the end zone and the momentum changed, then I changed my mind. It's like, what were you expecting? If you're going to score a touchdown, everyone's going to be celebrating.
From
it's 20 be a
something
big
yards
play.
Out. Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah.
You had to know that the touchdown was going to be a momentum swinging play. That's what I don't get when he talks about, I was going for one. And then I said, you know what? The way we scored, I said, go for two. And it's like, weren't you thinking about that beforehand?
He bounced off a guy into the end zone? Like, what?
Congrats.
All I want to do is for it to make sense. And what he is doing right now does not make sense.
No.
I don't understand the logic behind it. And, okay, I should take it back a step here, okay? Because we did say that I get why you're not trusting your quarterback, but you're telling me Sean Tucker can't pick that up?
Right.
Like, you've got an All-American level running back there for you who's had a lot of success against that Clemson team. And listen, Clemson probably knew the exact play that was going to get called. It wasn't like Wake Forest where they didn't know who had the ball 75% of the time on those running plays. But I would rather lose playing aggressive than lose playing passive.
So
To beat better teams and to pull upsets, you have to be aggressive. Who was it? Was it Sean Riley who tweeted out after 2017 Syracuse goes for it on that fourth down? And he's right.
I agree. I think you'd rather lose being aggressive. At the same time, I don't necessarily know if they would have gotten the fourth and one. And I don't know if this particular decision was so egregious as people are making it out to be. It's just another like final straw situation like we were talking about with DeVito earlier. I guess the hypothetical question here to ask you is, if they did opt to go for it and they don't get it, do you think we're on this podcast today or other people are tweeting, why the heck didn't we just kick? It's a 48-yarder. Do you think that would have happened?
I think the people are tweeting, but I'm disagreeing with said tweeters.
Okay.
Because, again, we've seen Andre miss big kicks this year. And 48, I don't care if you have Stephen Gostkowski back there suiting up for Syracuse right now. Prime Adam Vinatieri. I don't care, okay? It's a 48-yarder. That is not an easy kick for a college kicker.
Right.
It just isn't. I'd have to go and dig up the stats on yard by yard what the success rate is, whether even if it is indoors, but it's not an easy kick. And people are acting like, like the people who are defending the fourth down decision here, they're acting like it's a 35-yarder. It's not. It's a tough kick for a college kicker. And I would rather, again, and this gets back to kind of like what we said against Wake Forest, why we like the decision to go for two at the end of the game. When you are playing against a clearly superior team,
right,
the longer you draw the game out, the less likely things are to bounce your way when you are the inferior team, when you are the underdog. The longer things go out, the more they regress to the mean. The shorter and more condensed you make it, the larger variance you create. And by going to overtime, you put yourself in a really bad spot. A really bad spot, because Clemson is clearly the superior team.
Yeah, and the whole manner in which they ran the, I don't even want to call it a two-minute drill, because it wasn't. It started with like 4 minutes, and I guess it started way back.
They ran what, like 14, 15 plays
too
on that drive, and it got them to the 31-yard line. And here's another thing too. Even if you don't score a touchdown there, at least make the kick easier for a kicker who is lacking a lot of confidence right now.
And I think the bigger problem is the holder and the fact that we don't have a special teams coach.
Well,
because, I mean, I don't even know if it's
special teams.
Yeah.
You want to talk about special teams. There is a couple things, which is hilarious, because what did he say in intro presser number one, Dino Babers? What did he say about a special teams? A special teams is going to be well coached. How about you get a special teams that actually is coached?
Right. That has a freaking coach.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, seriously, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. And to top it off, I do want to bring up this rule, too, on the fake punt. I tweeted this out. So for those who don't know this, okay, whenever you are in a kick formation, field goal, punt, whatever it is, pass interference is out of the rule book. You are allowed to deck a guy. Just absolutely lay him out if the ball's in the air. You're allowed to. There's no pass interference. And that's what happens when you don't have a special teams coach. And quite frankly, if I know the rule, every single player on that field should know the rule.
Yeah, it's a terrible rule, though, because there's these fine, like, I think it's
because here's
what
happens. Here's what happens.
Right.
Here's what happens on that play every single time when this does come into effect. The flag is thrown because the guy gets laid out, but then the refs confer, and then the one ref says, "By the way, guys, that's not a penalty on kicking formations."
Yeah.
And then they say, "There is no flag on the play for pass interference. You cannot have pass interference on a kicking formation play."
In fairness to Syracuse, it seemed like they were ready for the fake. They left their defense out there, and they still let it happen. And honestly, that was the best throw from any quarterback in the entire game. That throw from
Will Sparks. It was,
It was a beautiful pass, so it's unfortunate.
It really was.
And that really swayed the game. But at the same time, that whole rule needs to be changed, because how do you determine, was that a kicking formation? Was it not? Was that a high and deep pass? Was it not? It's just too much, like, white line stuff there.
Well, I think it all comes down to like the formations and stuff like that. I think it's a pretty cookie cutter rule and pretty.
Yeah,
black
but I
and
think
white.
It has to be, in order for pass interference to be not allowed. Basically, it has to be determined as not a high and deep pass. If it's a high and deep pass, then it's different. Was that a high and deep pass? I don't know. I mean, it was like a 15-yard pass that was sort of high to the right side. I don't know if that would qualify.
Yeah, maybe there's a gray area there. But the way that I've seen it play out is that I don't think I've ever seen it where the penalty is enforced. So
yeah.
I think
I'm with
again,
you. They should have.
It's an odd rule. It's a very odd rule, but it's one that you should know when you're on the football field, and it would be nice to have a special teams coordinator to kind of lay that out for everyone. It's embarrassing. You're a Power 5 institution.
Yeah. Gosh, I could go on about this game for another 15 minutes. I guess we got to cut it here because we've already gone a little bit long. We've got so much to get to on the pod this week. Coach O is on the market after next year. What does that mean for Syracuse? Do we have a realistic shot of getting him? Should we send the bag at him? A lot to get to on that front. DeVito enters the portal. We haven't even really fleshed out that. We'll talk about, all right, who is QB2 now? What does this mean for Tommy DeVito's future? What does this mean for his legacy? Malik Brown committed over the weekend for Syracuse basketball. That's a huge topic we'll probably get to on tomorrow's show. I think we'll do two pods tomorrow.
Yeah, let's do a double dip tomorrow. You're going to get a bat. It'll be like Lebatard. There's the local hour and then there's the national hours.
Right.
You're going to get the basketball hour and then you're going to get the football hours.
Yeah, and with our luck, something else will come up over the next couple of days.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll be here for you guys.
Who knows? Maybe Schrader enters the portal.
Jacoby and Morgan, fun? You're up. Right.
QB1.
Gosh, it's been a wild week of Syracuse sports. This is why we have the podcast, though. It's a lot of fun to have 5 days to talk about Syracuse sports throughout the week when you have all this news that is coming down the wire here. We got basketball season coming up as well. I feel like we haven't even
November 9th
been able to preview that as much as we normally do. But anyway, a lot to get to. Virginia Tech this week. Subscribe now if you haven't already, because we're going to be bringing you guys daily podcasts on Syracuse sports, any breaking news that comes across. Follow the show on Twitter as well, at @LO_Syracuse is our Twitter username there. And thanks for listening and making Locked On Syracuse your first listen every single weekday. Check out Locked On ACC if you haven't already. See where maybe Syracuse falls into the ACC power rankings this week. They are always giving you great podcasts there. Candace Cooper over on Locked On ACC, also there with you every single weekday. But thanks for listening. We'll be back with probably two podcasts tomorrow.